Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, O Lord. Lord, you're the silent listener of our conversations, O Lord. All this praise and worship belongs to you, and you alone receive all the honor and glory, O Father. As we bring a request in prayer, Lord, you are a prayer answering God, and you are the one who provides for our needs, and you protect us, O Father. In times of trouble, you are our ever-present help. Even as your servant, as I bring your word, Lord, that you speak to us and minister to each and everyone in this place. Let your Holy Spirit help us to understand this passage and to live it for your glory. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. Exciting things are happening. God is doing wonderful things in our midst, especially with our merger. It's not going to be easy, but we are here together to serve the Lord and worship Him together. Amen? And it's been very long. I laughed in time of prayer, you know, where we're being honest who we are, being transparent, not hiding anything away from anyone, but rejoicing in the Lord. That's what church is all about. Amen? Praise God. As we look into our passage this morning, last week Lenny brought, he was talking about John the Baptist. You know, how Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. You know, he's the greatest, one of the prophets, he's the greatest among the prophets. But he says, the one who's least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Amen? And the passage finishes with saying, Jesus was saying, you know, John came eating and drinking. Not eating and drinking, you guys said he's a demon. And Jesus came eating and drinking, you said he's a glutton and drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinner. And the following passage is about the sinful woman who comes into where Jesus was invited by a Pharisee, and she gate crashes and in without being invited, she comes into this party. And we're going to look at this woman. But as we look at this person, one thing came to my mind is this. Now, how sometimes we forget about how forgiving our God is, how big is His love. But as we, children of God, as we receive this forgiveness, we forget about sharing that love to others or worshiping God with the outpouring of love from our hearts. In an account of Jesus' life and ministry, Luke has already introduced us to the tension there between the Pharisees and scribes and Jesus. In particular, they struggled with the way how Jesus ate and drank and how he's friend of sinners. They could not agree. How come a man who is holy, who called himself as a rabbi, a teacher, could go and eat and drink with these people or be a friend of a sinner? Because for Pharisees, it's completely the opposite. For them, the holiness is all about staying away from these people. But what Jesus is doing is unacceptable for them. But He is our Savior. He knows what He's doing. Amen? The second thing they struggle with is Jesus forgiving people. They could not accept that Jesus forgiving people. In this story, Luke highlights, you know, when Jesus was invited by a Pharisee to come and eat with him, and how he is a friend of a sinner. At times, it's a great reminder for us as well. It speaks lovely to us even now. You know, not only to those people 2,000 years ago, even today to us. We often struggle to believe that God's grace is big enough to meet the needs of certain people. We have a struggle. We don't want to believe that. And even we often fail to see how completely forgiven great sinners are and when they come to Christ. We fail to see that the biggest obstacles from salvation is self-righteousness. And these are the things which are going to unfold as we look into this passage. As we enter into this passage, you know, it starts as one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. See, a Pharisee, I'm not sure why he invited Jesus. Maybe he's curious to know, you know, what Jesus is here to teach or to measure up his spiritual standards. Or is he really a prophet? Or in their culture, inviting a rabbi is like a merit for you, you know, inviting him to your house. In our culture, whenever there is a pastor who is very famous, comes to the town, you know, you're like, oh, I want to invite him to my house, you know, to show off. You know, we have these connections and all that. But truly, your heart is not ready to listen to the truth or to accept the truth and accept who you are. That's where the Pharisee is at. And here, in the 37th verse, and behold, a woman of the city was a sinner. Who was a sinner? When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping. See, in that culture, it is not easy for a woman to come into a place of public without uninvited, without being invited, coming into a place, it's not right. And again, in this society, Pharisees are, you know, somebody who is highly regarded, and this woman who everyone knows she's a sinner, everyone knows she got a past. And the history and tradition say that she's an adulterous woman. Bible is not sharing about, but it's very clear she's a sinner. It's a notorious sinner. It's very clear everyone in the city knows about who this person is. I was reading in Arab culture, in the Middle Eastern culture, women to come out in public, it's not good. Her reputation is all about what kind of life she carries. If anything to do with an affair with a man before marriage, her reputation is gone. She even could be stoned to death. And coming in the public and talking to a man who's not your family member, it's unacceptable. Think about a reputation. Doesn't matter how much you study, who you are, but if your character is not good, you're unaccepted. And this woman, she was known for her sin. Her past. Everyone looked at her past and who she was. And for a rabbi to speak to the person like this, his reputation will be damaged forever. But Jesus is not bothered about it. Jesus is bothered about where she's going to go in the future and not about the past of her life. Amen? Most of the time we look at people, we look at their past. But Jesus looks at the future of those people, the new life in the kingdom of God. As this woman comes, she's not invited. We are not sure how this woman entered into this meeting. Did she gate crash, you know? Not sure. They say, you know, and it could be a semi-public event where people come and, you know, as they were having this meeting in the courtyard, she could have been somebody who was just watching and just came in. Or she'd be well-dressed and go get, you know, having this perfume in her hand. People thought, okay, she's come with someone and they let her in. Not sure. Bible does not talk about it. But one thing we know, she's desperate to meet the Savior. Amen? As she comes into that, she knows that Jesus is leaning, reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. It's not like the dining table what you have in our house, you know. Here they sit on the floor, leaning towards the table, you know, with the left hand and keeping the right hand free to eat the food. Stretch their feet backward as they have the conversation in a very relaxed setting. As this woman comes, she knows that Jesus is reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster flask of ointment. It's a very expensive ointment. It could have been a year's of wage. Not sure how much that is. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping. She came and stood behind him. The conviction in her heart, she could not hold it anymore. Not just tears. She was weeping. Looking at her life, how people been looking at her, and here is a Savior who can change everything, and she can have the promise of new life. As she was weeping, the tears, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. As the tears went and wet Jesus' feet, she was so worried. And she removed hair, you know. You don't unbind your hair in front of other people in the Middle Eastern culture. But she was not bothered about it. She took her hair and she wiped Jesus' feet. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Kissing his feet shows how she wants to humiliate in front of those people. That shows how humble she is and saw him as a master and herself as a servant who want to glorify him and worship him. And she never stopped kissing. That shows her heart. How beautiful is that? Because when you meet your Savior, your life changes forever. But what happens next? Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner." See, most of the time we look at this woman and we forget about this Pharisee. But if you look at these characters involved in this story, Jesus, the Pharisee, and the sinner, the main conversation is happening mostly between Jesus and the Pharisee. The Pharisee is the one who invited him to his house. The Pharisee is the one who is judging this woman and having all this thought in his mind. And to the Pharisee is who Jesus answering and questioning him and asking questions and answering to him. And most of his address is towards the Pharisee. And this man, he looks at this woman and looks at Jesus. There's three questions coming in his mind. The first one is he really a prophet? That shows what was his intention when he invited Jesus. And if he knows what sort of woman she is, he will not let her touch him. And he judges that she is a sinner. See, there's three questions in his mind. It's very important because at times in church, though we receive God's forgiveness, once we were wicked and evil, we received God's mercy. At times we forget about it. This man standing there and judging this woman in his mind, thinking nobody knows about it. Look at the response from Jesus. And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." See, this man, wondering, is he really a prophet? Does he know about this woman? But he's more than a prophet. He even knows what Simon thinking in his mind. See, to know about this woman, you can go and ask people in that town. Everybody knows it. But to know the thoughts of Simon, not everybody could do that. Only Jesus can do that because he's the Son of God who knows every intention, every thought in your heart and your mind. And he says to this man, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" See, as we look into this, Jesus asks a parable, and then he comes out with an answer, a question. He's not somebody who directly asks you a question and, you know, you're wrong. He has a very graceful way of asking you, make you understand. He shares this parable about this money lender who has lended money to two people. One with 500 denarii and the other 50. When they both could not pay, he canceled the debt of both the people. See, a denarii is a one-day wage. 50 is somewhere around 2 months. Think about 500. It's almost 2 years of wages. When 2 years of wages has been, if it's canceled, you'll be gratitude to that person for lifetime. And as I was thinking about it, sometimes we read and we just keep moving on, eh? We don't pause and reflect on it. It's been 10 years in this country. As a migrant, you go through a lot of challenges. You leave your family behind, you come here, you spend so much money, and all the challenges you face with immigration and work, new environment, new culture, new people, it's challenging. My passion is to serve the Lord. I came here to study Bible college, I finished my studies, I joined a church, I started working with them for 5 years. I was very naive about how things work here. I worked with a church for 5 years, I was not paid. We're going through so much of challenges. Eventually, there was a lot of things we need to support our family back home. Mom was getting sick and many things were happening. There was so much debt incurred because of that, you know. You pay so much for the immigration and all that. So always I cried to God and asked God, so much pain, so much struggle. You know, you have the secret conversation with God. Not everyone knows about it. Crying to him and say, God, I want to serve you, but I've been exploited. I've been put down. I've been insulted. I've always been oppressed. All these years, God said, I will repay. What the locusts have eaten, I will give you back. See, God's promises are true, my friends. As I was talking about this debt, I remember a few years ago, as I was ministering with a friend, he said, Alex, I forgot to bring my wallet. Could you pay for the coffee? I said, oh, that's fine, you know. I've just paid him like $14.50 or something. I'm not ashamed to share it because I want to be transparent in front of you. This guy knows about my struggles, you know. He's a good friend of mine. And as he was moving country, he sold his property and he got more than what he wanted to sell it for. And one day he called and said, Alex, I know there's been struggle with you financially, you've been going through. I just want to make sure you just clear off all that so that you can go freely and minister for the Lord. And he just went to the bank with me, paid off all my debt, one off. That was more than $15,000 at that point. I know it's a small amount for some people. For some people, it's a big amount. What I'm saying here is, coming out of a debt like that, at that point of time, was something very big. I was praising God. You know, as a God, as a prayer-answering God. When we look into this passage, canceling debt, it's big. And I understand that person. Many would have, when you read this passage. So now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus replied, yes, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? See, what is happening here is a man who is calling himself holy, who's keeping himself away from people, thinking that will bring him salvation, but he's not understanding that salvation belongs to the Lord. Only he can forgive your sins. And as Jesus turning to him and asked, did you see this woman? What Jesus is actually asking him is, did you really see your heart, Simon? Do you know what's happening in your heart? Because you're thinking, this woman, it's unnecessary for her to receive forgiveness. And you are thinking, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, is unavailable for this person because she's a sinner. And you're also thinking in your heart, it's unnecessary for you because you're a righteous man. But Jesus is saying, look at your heart. Did you see this woman? Did you see this woman? By saying that, did you see your heart? As is coming next, I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Wow. The one who receives more loves more. The one who receives more loves more. She knows how big her debt was and how much she was forgiven, and the expression, the gratitude is showed in her love, the overflowing of that love. She never stopped kissing. See, in that culture, the custom is when somebody enters your house, your feet is dusty. You give them water. You give them towel to wash their feet. That's a normal, customary thing. But he was not even doing that. But this woman, she wiped Jesus' feet with her tears, with her hair. And it is customary where you give them a kiss on the cheek, saying peace as you come into your house. But this woman never stopped kissing Jesus' feet. Usually they put a oil on the head to say, you know, the smell, the fragrance of smell just goes around the room as you invite a person. He haven't done that. He haven't done none of those things that shows his heart. Though he invited Jesus into his house, he did not invite him into his heart. But this woman, from the time she entered into the presence of Jesus, she received him in his heart. Everyone went for a party, but only this woman went for church. Amen? And the outflowing of the love. If you know how much God has forgiven you, that shows the love which comes out of you. I remember, and the next one, in July 19, that's a good friend, Neil's first anniversary since he left us. This man, when he got cancer, he was dying with a few months to live. I used to go pick up some eggs. I do that so that I can raise funds for my ministry to support our family. We do it twice a week. He had his chemo. He was almost dying. He's so weak. As I was getting ready on Monday morning, he's outside his house to get inside the van to go with me to pick up eggs. And this man said, Alex, I don't know how many days I'm going to live, but I want to spend time with you. That's an expression of God's love, because he knows how much he was forgiven, and that showed in his love towards other people. And today, that's the question God is asking us. You know how much God has forgiven you all and us. And are we showing that gratitude towards God, towards God's people in love? As our brother Ray was sharing, churches are not anymore welcoming. Churches have become judgmental. Instead of a place to heal people, it's become a place that hurts people. But here is a challenge in front of all of us. will we be a church, God's people who will share God's love truly to those who enter into this place so that we can acknowledge we've been forgiven more, we want to love more. God is not asking you to go wash his feet or wipe his feet, to pour perfume in his feet. If you want to show that love to Jesus, show it in the passion you praise and worship God, or the affection of words in your prayer, or more and more love towards the way you love and touch the lives of people around you. Amen? That's what Jesus says. Therefore I tell you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. He's telling Simon, Simon, this woman is forgiven more, that's why she loves more. It's not that because of her love she was forgiven. Because of her forgiveness she is loving Jesus more. Some people misunderstand the other way around. No. The love is not the cause of forgiveness here. The forgiveness is the awakening of her love in her heart. And it also shows that whether Simon was forgiven at all because he haven't had the heart of repentance, or he felt the need for forgiveness in that place. Many times we fall into that place. We have to have a self-check every time, again and again, going to the presence of God and asking, God, where am I going wrong? There are times where we struggle with anger, rage, greed, gossip, worriness, many things. But we have to constantly going back to him again and again and asking, God, I need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. If we have that heart, we'll understand what is God not only doing in our life, but in others' life. That will humble ourselves in the presence of God. Amen? Therefore, I tell you, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but who is forgiven little loves little. As it comes to the end, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. See, is reassuring her. Now, at times as a sinner, people been keep on pointing at you, looking down upon you. You have this doubt keep coming to you. But Jesus reassuring her, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You know what? When Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. When Christ forgives you, you are free indeed. You don't need to worry about it. People might put you down. People might look at your past and they keep dragging you behind. But what you need to do is the new life that Jesus called you to go forth and start loving him and loving his people. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? They can't accept. They're okay to understand or accept the performance of miracle by Jesus, but not the power of an authority to forgive the sins of people. They're astonished. They're divided in understanding that, but Jesus is the Son of God. He has the authority to forgive sin. That's what Luke is trying to say here. He's the Son of God. He's come to forgive our sins. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So in Romans we see we are justified by faith. By faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith that when I go into the presence of God, I will be forgiven. Here's the only place you see that. You see the relationship between the love and forgiveness and faith. How it all connected together in this place. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So this word, go in peace, is very, very important. You can listen to those people who are murmuring around you, insulting you, looking down upon you. You can take those words and live with a life of oppression. Or you can take the word of Jesus and go in peace and live that new life. It also bring a great responsibility towards us as we receive that love, forgiveness. How are we going to share that love to other people? We might struggle. See, this woman or many other people in the Bible. They are not scholars or very intellectual in going out to share the gospel or the truth to other people. All they did is just shared what the Lord has done in their life and went and touched the lives of people. That's the way they shared God's love to others. Being the light in the community and sharing that light of God to other people who are living in the darkness. You look at those, the man who was questioned in the temple, who was blind, was healed by Jesus. All he said is this: I was once blind, now I see. This woman in the well, all she did is this: this man knows about my past and he knows everything. And she straight away went into the town and shared that to those people. Don't hesitate. Don't get worried. I don't know much about the scripture. You will grow. But the readiness to share the gospel, because there are many people out there living in the darkness who want to hear the good news. I remember in 1984, there's this person, this woman, some may know, I would have shared before. She had cancer. Doctors said that she's going to die in a few months. She lost hope. Wherever she went, there is no hope. The doctor said, your body is going to smell in a few days. You have to embrace death. But her mother, who comes from a Catholic background, heard about Jesus. And they're very cultural Christians. So she heard about a gospel convention and said, let's go to that prayer meeting and see what happens. When they went to that prayer meeting, that woman was sitting behind a tree hiding from the people. She doesn't want to be in front of anyone because she's worried a smell might make people uncomfortable. But in that meeting, God's word came to that person and said, today you are healed. Go in peace. She received that word. She went home. She shared with her husband, who was an alcoholic. He said, if that is true, I will change my life. They went to the doctors. The doctors laughed at them. As they did the test, they got to know there's not even a single cell of cancer in her body. That was my mother in 1984. And from there on, she's not a scholar. She's not an intellectual person. What she did is this. She went and shared the truth as she knows. A year ago, she passed away, and I could not attend because of all these border rules and regulations. But as I was seeing that in the video, a funeral service, there were hundreds of people sharing what the Lord has done in their life, how they come to know the Lord through a simple testimony to this woman, my mother. She goes to an iron shop where you give your clothes to iron. She'll be standing there sharing about Jesus to that person. She goes to a grocery shop. As she was buying this grocery, she'll be sharing the gospel to the person next to her. Hundreds of people, 35 years of life, sharing the good news to people. I was born after that. God healed her from cancer. See, in many people's life, God chooses some to be healed, some not. We submit to His plans. But with her life, I've seen what the Lord has done and how graceful He's been. And she carried the joy and went out, shared to those people. That reminds me, don't stop yourself to share the truth, because there are many people who are in the darkness need to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's close eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we are just a dust. But because of your love, because of your grace, we are standing here breathing and worshiping you, O Father. Lord, help us to self-check every time that the Spirit of the Lord convict us of our sin bring us to our knees to ask for forgiveness and repent us of our sins and receive your grace in faith. Help us to understand we are just a dust. We summon this morning into your mighty hands. Continue to lead us and bless us as we go out to be the light in the community you called us to, Father. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen.